go.
And if we're not expecting anybody else,
let's go for it.
And we are outnumbered.
On the other side of the table.
Haven't started yet.
And why is it you were interested in being
a nerd? Every woman in life called you all.
Free
is
here, right?
No trouble is. Hang up. Plug your ears. Okay.
Set away the little hammer.
Last time we did that, I'm sure. But good evening. The Kirkland Design Review Board meeting will come to order. First, we'll have the roll call.
Carter Begg.
Here.
Jeff Bates.
Here.
Brian Berg. Stephen Cox.
Here.
Todd Kilburn. Kevin Oramus.
Here.
Eric Shields.
Here.
Phyllis Foreman.
Here.
Here.
Okay.
Here.
We have two sets of minutes here to be approved.
Can't see you.
That was deliberate on his part. Now what are you going to do?
Over there.
This is an absolute new record. We've cleared a room in 3 minutes. Okay. We have two sets of minutes. First, are there any additions or corrections to the minutes of November 6, 2006? Do I hear a motion of approval?
I move to approve the minutes.
Do I hear a second? All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Okay. Second, minutes of December 4th, 2006. Is there a motion to approve?
I move they are approved as written. You can
second. Do you second?
I second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Okay, minutes of December 4th are also approved as submitted. Announcement of the agenda. Well, the first thing is the first case, you know, by convening an hour later, you will not be on the agenda tonight. I presume we may expect them in March?
Well, I presume so. I'm sure they'll want to reschedule as soon as possible, but we'll have to see how that works with other items that are expected to go forward.
Okay. At this point, we also have a period of requests for statements from the audience not involved in something that's going to be on the agenda tonight. So if there's somebody here who's not with the Arts Council, the Cultural Council, this would be their turn to speak about issues in general. Are there any such? Okay, hearing none, we can move on to, we don't have any unfinished business. So, you know how to try to make our usual procedure work. We usually ask the applicant, well, first we'd ask for a staff presentation, but I don't think we have that tonight.
We don't have that. You know, I would almost, if I, may I just make a suggestion?
Come right in.
Maybe more comfortable if we invited everybody up and just sat around this table here, so we're
except
not
going to.
I don't think we can all sit around. Yeah,
we don't have enough chairs, but
everybody's
here.
There's a few over here.
Can we bring you food?
Yeah.
We should have been last time, didn't we?
I mean,
no,
isn't this...
Here, you know.
I know, but
thank you.
No culinary arts?
No culinary arts. We'll have to work on that.
That is a plate.
Couple chairs right there.
There we go.
This is the best place for Bob. You need to be near that.
Sure, it's
okay, do you have a spokesperson, or do you want somewhere to start? Okay.
So I'm Bob Larson. I'm the chair of the Cultural Council, and I think I'll give you a little, just a short presentation of kind of what we're thinking about integrated art and show you some examples to kind of give you an idea of where we're coming from. Some of you have already seen, I know, I think Phyllis and Stephen came to an earlier presentation last fall. So anyway, then we're hoping we can just kind of do a little discussion. We're pretty new to this. We kind of know what we're kind of going for. We're not totally sure how to go about doing it. So anyway, we'll do that. And then maybe while I'm getting set up, everyone can kind of introduce them. So these are all Cultural Council members, if you don't know. Otherwise, they're just on the board. So.
Now they're
subsistence. I'm Gigi Guess, and I am the vice chair for the Cultural Council.
I'm Kathy Speak from the Cultural Council.
Okay. Sit next to you, Bob.
Oh, sorry. Mary Jane Vanilla. I'm on the Cultural Council.
Okay.
Excuse me. Boris Sildar on the Cultural Council.
Thomas Gant.
Yeah.
Jennifer Bushnell, Cultural Council.
And Eric Sen, Cultural Council.
Okay. Let me
ask here we have
the recorder, does I assume she's got all your addresses for the official record?
We'll get them.
I'm Tracy Burrows. I'm staff to the Cultural Council. And, you know, we want to say we're thrilled to be here, actually,
very
because
much.
We've been talking about this for quite some time.
Okay.
We actually need to coordinate with you. So.
Yeah.
I have one question, if you don't mind. I understand the goal of the cultural, but what qualifies you to be on the board? I don't mean it's who makes that? I mean, I know your names, and I'm happy to meet you. But who makes what makes
the decisions?
I mean, what's the background? I guess what's the shared background that got you on, or just residents of Kirkland?
Well, I think that we all apply, as you did,
to
that, and we have to go before the city council and all that kind of thing and hand in our resumes and why we'd like to be on the board, as all these people did. And we have a myriad of talents, and I think that's pretty fun. Like, this guy's a doctor, but he's also an artist, and she's an architect, and he's with Microsoft, and he's into the arts, and he plays the cello, and he's an architect, and she was on the founding the city council about 5 years ago. Said, why should we have an arts commission, aka cultural council? I thought it was bizarre that we didn't, because this is thought of as the most arty community in the world, and Duval, for heaven's sakes, has an arts council and has had for years. So she and I were on a task force for should we have an arts commission or not. That was not the question. The question to us, they had 19 people on it, was what should the form be? So that is what we all are. I've been on it since it started, as has Kathy, as has
Bob as well.
Bob.
And, and how long ago was that? How long?
So we've been formed
4 or 5 years.
Ago.
Okay, cool.
So the original members have been on 4 years, a few of us. Some have been newer. We always have at least one artist, at least one student. And
who's the student?
So
Brent.
He's
one of the
He's
one of the
National Merit Scholar. He's our secret weapon, but he's not here tonight.
Yeah. Well, thank you. And I apologize for not knowing more about you.
And this is
I'm Julie Reynolds. I'm with the
I'm going to do an opposite thing. So what qualifies you to be on this? The design of your board.
Fair enough. I'm a landscape designer.
Okay.
And these guys are a mix of architects, contractors.
And we have two architects on our board and various things too. So.
Cool.
Good.
Okay, so I'll kind of walk you through some of the slides. As Gigi was kind of giving you some background. We have a pretty... Talk a little about what we're going to do. Anyway, I'll kind of give an overview of who we are, kind of the state of art in Kirkland. We have been involved with some development projects, but mostly public. We'll talk about what we mean with integrated art, and then show you some examples. There's some really pretty amazing examples out there, and then we'll have some time to talk about things. So again, Gigi gave you a little bit of a background, but we are tasked with the strategic planning and the direction of the arts in Kirkland. We're given a pretty broad charter, so we've kind of been making up things as we go. There's obviously a lot of emphasis on the sculpture, keeping the sculpture, admitting things into the city's collection, but we also see getting new kinds of art and different kinds of art in as kind of our role. Again, we're made up of various pieces, parts, and then we're integrated with other departments. We're a council, so you know, we go to front of city council once to twice a year, things like that. This is what people mostly think of Kirkland, and we were very lucky to have the number of sculptures we have in here. In the middle is a little bit of a map of where the sculptures are. It's pretty focused in the downtown, but it does make a nice big impact instead of being scattered throughout the park, throughout the town. But this is pretty much traditionally what you'll see, a lot of bronze, a lot of realistic sculpture. We've been involved with the Totem Lake project, so we worked, Kathy worked a lot with Sound Transit and WashDOT to get this design put on the sound walls. And this is a really, this kind of gives you a hint at where we're going. We were given a budget of like $200,000 and $250,000 for art. And we could have just stuck a sculpture on the side or done some lighting, but we actually wanted to make a big impact. And this type of thing, while it was more costly to build, it's something you would never ever go back and redo. It's just too costly. But if you do it while it's being built, it's not quite so bad. So we are, like I said, we are dabbling in a lot of various things. So the Totem Lake developments we did ask for and were given $50,000 for a planning artist. And that's basically the public plaza. We're going to have, we've already picked the artist, Pam Bayette. I don't know if you know her, but she did a lot of the Justice Building in Seattle. There's some pretty amazing art in there. She was kind of the planning artist on that. And so she's going to work with a developer actually on the public plaza. We do a lot in Sound Transits. And then we're also doing some smaller stuff. Like Norkirk had $9,000 to purchase a sculpture. And we've worked with them on the selection. So what are we talking about with integrated art? And again, there's this real big kind of shift of the view of public art. It used to be about, you know, taking the museum outside, or used to be about putting this art in these public places. And now it's kind of a different way of thinking. It's about making these engaging, interesting public places. And this is, it also serves a lot of other purposes. The unique community identity is kind of resonating with a lot of people. Because as you drive up 405, you could take almost any exit and see the exact same stores. So how do we differentiate ourselves? And actually, our sound walls is one. And then I think the sculpture in the downtown plays a lot. It is cost-effective if you think about it right up front, as opposed to coming in at the end and saying, okay, well, I've got a little bit of money for art, let's do it. Make a huge impact. It can make the neighbors happy. It can solve a lot of issues. And in general, if you know it's something that's attractive, beautiful, it's a little more easier project acceptance. These are just some of the things I'm sure you've all seen, but it is, again, it kind of reinforces this trend about getting away from just this, you know, every city has the exact same stores, everyone has a Pottery Barn, everyone has all these things. So how do we differentiate ourselves? And we've been really lucky in Kirkland because we have the water and we have the art and we have a lot of really, really great things. So we're kind of hoping to build on that a little bit. So I'm going to show you some pictures of integrated art in public projects. Now we're here to talk about private development. So I'll show you some private development art, but I'm kind of giving you the idea of the public. In reality, the public projects are a little easier to do because there's percent for arts. There's kind of things that enforce that art is built into the projects. But this one here is actually the pump station in Bothell. It's actually in an office park. And basically when it rains, it collects off the roof and comes down and builds this waterfall. So this was, they were concerned about having a pump house in an office park. And kind of with her design, basically made it like something that was attractive and appealing. It's a storm collection. Basically collects the runoff from the storm, and it channels it through this, I think it's actually going under as well, but it kind of channels it along this walkway. what it's done is this very functional piece of, you know, this tool, this stormwater drainage. It's kind of made this beautiful plaza for people to go to. That's in Seattle.
I keep meaning to go look at that. Is that, does it have poetry on it?
Yes.
Are there words in the middle?
So it's somewhat reflective of its purpose. And this is probably the best example of integrated art. So if you look at, not this exact picture, but if you look at this, it's a pedestrian bridge and it's concrete and it's chain link fence and it's like steel pipe. But this is, again, a pedestrian bridge which is concrete, steel, and steel pipe and then the chain link fence. So even with the same materials, you bring an artist in, you can kind of get these effects. Again, this is something you could never do after the fact. It would just be insanely expensive. But if you look at it up front, you have the artist design it, you have the base materials, you can do some pretty amazing things. Another example, this is in the SeaTac Park. Again, taking everyday objects and making them interesting, artistic. Another example, sound walls. And this is the Bashan transfer station. It's actually where they come to do their recycling. So there's no pickup on Vashon, and they're so they believe so strongly in recycling and doing their things that this has become like this community gathering center. It's actually been this place where the community comes together, they do the recycling, they meet, they greet. And kind of by doing this, it's making it, again, a functional, not too interesting place, you know, more attractive. They're kind of getting a little more use out of it, more than they thought they would. So in private development, we've just started collecting more and more examples of this, but we're starting to get into a little bit. So this is in Fremont. This is a railing. Do you know, Tracy, is it an apartment?
It's a mixed-use development. Yeah, with retail on the ground floor and then...
And this is a good example of again, it's just, it's a railing, and you could just do a rail, or you can kind of work in some interesting pieces of art. Because again, you need a rail. What they're doing is they're, I'm sure they had an artist come in and do some initial design to create it. This is like an awning. Again, they've kind of taken a functional thing and added some art. And this one is actually in a building across from the Olympic Sculpture Park. Mm-hmm. Again, it's private development. But they've kind of taken these grates and they've put some stuff and built some stuff into it.
That's the parking level, I believe.
That's the parking lot.
If you go, yeah, there's the residential level. I think it's residential. Mm-hmm. And then this is probably what you're most used to seeing, architectural detail and things like that. So even these kind of elements, it's kind of this intent of kind of building in uniqueness and beauty and things like that early on in the design phase. And so that's a little bit of a background. Again, kind of where we came from is we see a lot of value in this integrated art concept. We are working kind of separately on public projects, so 1% for art, things like that, potentially. We looked into the private development, and there's no way we can, like, enforce developers to do this kind of thing. But we do feel with the community, the way it is, the arts focus on the sculpture downtown. And we also feel by making it easy for them. So there's been other examples where, you know, they want to do something with art. They're not totally sure. We can come in, we can maybe hook them up with an artist, we can kind of move it upstream and maybe create something pretty amazing, pretty beautiful, if we're kind of plugged into the system. So kind of what we're here to talk about is, you know, where would it fit in? Are there tools and things that we can do? I know we have a couple of suggestions of how we might be able to do it. But again, we're hoping to kind of get your feedback and see if there is a way. We do kind of see being able to be of service. So if there is a developer or there's a large public or a large project with some public area or even just a common area, we'd be able to, again, maybe assist with some artist selection, maybe assist with the process, various things like that. I know that For Culture, which kind of manages the art for King County, they've done stuff with private developers where a large office building has gone in, and they said we'd like to include some art. And so they'll hire, basically, for culture to go out, find the artists, cite it, create the review process, things like that. So anyway, that's it. Maybe we can talk a little bit about what you guys think. I think we sent you a proposal a little bit.
Yeah, we did have some ideas about, because when we met, we actually talked to a number of developers and told them to the design review board, and they talked about maybe changing the design review guidelines to put more emphasis on this. So we have Julie and Tom worked on some language that could possibly be integrated into the guidelines. But I guess we'd first kind of just like to hear your reactions.
Is that
to
the green?
Yeah, the green. Okay.
Yeah, we'd really like to hear what you're thinking. I mean, we all know that the more we can do things as a group to foster art, we have resources, we have artists, we have things that we could do that we know might be helpful. But then again, we don't really know the process that well, and you are the keepers of the process. We would need to know if it did happen, how could it happen, and is there value to Kirkland and working, you know, and you need a few wins and a few public things that show, and then suddenly it's easier to do anything. But at the start...
So this part, when you say the city encourages developers to seek consultation with the cultural council with respect to art selection, location, research, that's a proposal. You're not doing that now. That's just something you're proposing.
We've been.
I'm just asking because it's
public,
green.
Yeah. We've been doing it with public agencies. We've been doing it with Sound Transit comes to us and MarshDOT but as far as the private development, and there's so much of it going on right now, we've definitely had the feeling that there's a lot of opportunities that have already gone by the wayside. And we could mention some of them, but maybe we won't. But to not let all of this development happen in this short span of time without at least having a discussion about whether we could do things to encourage art.
You know, we did talk to the developer of Merrill Gardens about integrating it.
We did.
And he was great.
It was interested
and open. Receptive. I think they were pretty far along in the design process. Mm-hmm. I think maybe too far along.
So at what stage, or maybe this is a question for Eric, what stage would something like this consultation in the process take?
Well, the earlier the better. The earlier that a developer can start to think through those things. You know, the tendency for a lot of developers is that this is going to add a lot of cost. So, I mean, it's
That's
kind of new, and I know you're doing a lot
say.
Of thinking about this, and sort of how can you, you've shown some examples of where early thinking can maybe minimize the additional cost. You start thinking about integrating instead of retrofitting it afterwards.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
The challenge ultimately becomes, I think, for this group, let's say, when you're making a final decision as to what is the standard here that you are being, you're holding the developers to. In other words, at what point does the inclusion of art or not, at what level, become clear to everybody that either the DRB has the authority to impose a requirement or not, you know, so it's a little bit, I mean, that will be a challenge in terms of defining a guideline that.
Is that so different from any other thing that you'd like to impose or would like a developer to do in terms of the design?
Well, there are, for example, guidelines that talk about the articulation of the massing of a building and things that can be done to break up that building. So the board is clearly within its authority to ensure that the design of the building is doing that, modulating and respecting the scale of neighboring buildings and so forth and so on. So, and that's, they've got a clear guideline from which to do their work. The question is, what is the level of expectation with regard to art that they would then be evaluating a project by as well? I don't have the answer, it's just sort of a question.
I don't have the answer either, but I guess what we're thinking is that rather than seeing ourselves as the police or the demand,
right.
we would see ourselves as a resource.
Right.
And so maybe the only regulation would be that they at least meet with someone about that.
Right.
And then course, we hope that in the future maybe there would be incentives and other reasons why they really would choose that. But at the very least, when you don't have the conversation, they don't know artists, they don't know how to do it, they whatever don't have a path to take, and we could help with that if we spoke with them, and then nothing happened, then maybe that's as much as we can do. You know, so maybe there isn't a real regulation other than that the conversation happens. I'd feel very good if we started there.
There's one thing that occurs to me, and the board talked about this at our retreat a few weeks ago, with a discussion about superior retail and sort of what you have to do to sort of, because superior retail is one of the things you have to do in the downtown to justify, in some cases, an extra story.
Okay.
So it becomes a big deal. I mean, the developer comes in, they want that extra story. It's a, you know, it's going to make or break the project. So they have to justify superior retail, and the board was talking about, what does that look like? What are the things that, you know, we've been kind of groping our way through that and putting together a guideline that creates more specificity around that. One of the things is having that street presence and the activity and the detailing and development and so forth being of high, you know, extra high quality.
Right.
So it seems to me integrating art could certainly be part of that discussion. There you got a clear, they want this, and so in order to get there, you got to do that.
So Portland does that, for instance.
Right.
You know, we can't mandate legally that private developers spend a percentage of our, according to...
We could, but we haven't done
that. Well, statewide, state law says we can't.
Oh.
Yeah,
we
can't.
So it has to
that's what our attorney has told us.
Oh. Yeah, all right.
And, but, you know, there are lots of examples out there with many cities that do it on a voluntary basis. Portland is really picked up a lot of voluntary art from private developers. They did a little trick in that they decreased their floor ratio requirements so that in order to get superior retail, they more or less were mandated to put art into the building.
That's exactly what I was
saying. And so, and then the other thing is to point out to developers that a unique design that includes art and integrated art makes that building unique. It, they may be able to charge, if it's, say, an apartment or condos, they may be able to charge a little bit more per square foot, a little bit more rent. It may become more attractive to retailers if it's a mixed-use building because they want to be part of that uniqueness, or they want to be around the plaza that was built. And unfortunately, I think we would like to have to be able to pass some judgment on what kind of art is being used. You ask, what, you know, how high is the bar going to be? We want to make the bar very high. We don't want afterthoughts of saying, you know, the developer goes to his architect and says, well, we need some art, you know, design something. And we can show you examples of that all over the city, and it's not particularly attractive. There are other areas where people have put a great deal of thought, and like Bob showed some of the pictures of some of the thought that's gone into plazas and in public structures, utilities, that make them very attractive. So we would like the opportunity to help the developer, you know, select a level of art that would be appropriate to the city design.
We've had meetings with Jeremy, and we pulled him in a couple times. Because we weren't totally sure what's even coming down the pipe, and we weren't totally sure, again, when the best point is to jump in. So he outlined a few kind of early on meetings, where we could maybe get a brochure to him or something like that. But, you know, we're hoping to, like, we don't want to slow down the process. We don't want to create this other huge hurdle for them.
Right.
But again, you know, we'd love to say, this is Kirk, we'd actually like to make our pitch, basically, is at least the first step.
One of the things we talked about recently at our retreat was that, you know, this, what do we call it, conceptual design conference, their first meeting with us, that what they've been bringing us is a little more polished than what they should be bringing us. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't mean that they haven't already given a lot of thought and gone, you know, to great lengths to already practically finished the design, it's just they may not be showing it to us. And that's the first time that we see it, and sometimes it almost looks like it's, you know, it's almost a near finished project and they're just going to tweak it. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I like the idea that, you know, the service and the consultation, but I almost think that by the time they've come to us, they're already out and off and running, they've got their budgets figured out, they've already, you know, in some cases they've brought the materials, you know, which means they picked them out. Next, they'll still haven't picked them out, they may not show them to us, you know. But
so is there an earlier point than you guys?
Yeah, so an earlier point. But well, before us is the city.
And oftentimes the same story. I mean, they may come to staff. You know, they may be talking with people at the counter and sort of getting information, but meanwhile they're doing their design, they come to a application conference with the staff, and same deal. They may have the application already designed.
Now, it seems like
what the board is saying is they don't want to see that. They want to sort of force the applicant to go back and justify their design from a more general massing concept before getting into the details. So we're going to take another run at that and see if that works.
So there's sort of two ways to work it. You know, one is kind of what you were talking about in certain jurisdictions. You know, Portland, Mercer Island, as well, has some incentives where art is included on building facades, or in some way to actually, you know, have greater density allowed on sites. That's one way to sort of involve that conversation earlier and get the carrot and stick going, which probably is one of the fundamental ways to start the conversation. I don't think there's any real mechanism in place like that for Kirkland right now, but other jurisdictions have used it. Mm-hmm. Well, kind of at the other end, one of the things, Phyllis, you were talking about at the retreat last week, which I thought was really interesting. I'm just kind of throwing stuff out now, so I don't write anything down. But you talked about things that show up in projects at a smaller scale that are promised by a developer to help enliven and create a sense of place, and you talked about a specific water feature that was going to be great, look great in plan, all this. When it finally shows up, you know, the degree to which it's built, the materials it's built out of, it's just, you know, you just go, you know. And so I think it seems like certain downtown areas where there's more pedestrian involvement and activity going on, need for scale and detail, if there was a way, I'm not really thinking about art so much as sort of, you know, here's a piece of art and here's a building, but some way you can bring the whole level of the you know, private space that's used in a public way as a space that has that extra level of detail, material, and interest, so it's not the water feature at the end of the day that's like, wow, you know, this is kind of unfortunate. But if you could get that level of integration and detail, and it's a lot of things, it's handrails like we looked at, but also lighting to me is a huge one, especially in our climate, if there's a way you could integrate lighting that just kind of went to an extra level of finish. So these are just some ideas, but I think we're looking for, you know, We sort of touch a lot of the projects at the urban planning, urban design, and kind of big massing and as much as we can, but we seem to be searching for a little bit that last 10% of really getting the right level of detail and finishes and material, and it's really hard, and I don't know if this is an avenue or not.
Well, one key, and we started this discussion a couple of months ago when a number of you met with just a couple of us and some developers when we were talking about the guidelines and, you know, what exactly it is that we need in order to shape a development, and your idea of superior retail. And just last week at our retreat, when we talked about expanding that definition or the kit of parts that constitute superior retail to a broader definition of the public realm. So the sidewalks, the width of the sidewalks, the nature of the sidewalks, the design of that environment. The project Jeff is alluding to has a number of carved out little plazas, little spaces. Basically, it just creates a little hole for their units to look into. But the sidewalks bleed into those spaces, and before they're walled off, they are, to a certain extent, an extension of the public realm. So they put a fountain in one, so it's not a very successful fountain. So there's an opportunity in there to enhance that public area. Mm-hmm. They said that the creation of those plazas was creating a better public realm, therefore they had superior retail, therefore they got an extra story. You know, the debate goes on.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
But
it didn't.
that
when they let go of the exercise.
But that idea of enhancing the public face of the project is something that we do deal with, both as it allows a design departures in some zones, as it allows an extra story, and in all projects, as it's sort of the expression of quality that everybody sees as it engages the street. So that as we sort of look to broadening that superior retail to go outside of the store and talk about everything along that ground plane, maybe that helps.
Yeah.
The idea of integrating art into that experience.
And it's a real, not everyone is integrated artists. There's not everyone that can do it. I mean, these people are ones that work with architects and they work with developers and they get the whole build process and they sometimes it's hard to find.
We kind of call them planning artists. Some of them are vetted by Sound Transit and there are public agencies who really have worked with these people for years and know who can do it and who can't. There are plenty of people who can produce great art who don't have the skills to work with architects and developers. So, you know, to some extent we are talking about a specific subgroup of artists who are planning artists who really could work at this level of planning with a community.
And it is somewhat scalable. Like Totem Lake, we said, that's a huge project. There's a $12 million plaza going in, and we got to get something. And so we got the money, and again, there was like five potential artists, and we picked one. But again, it could be a development where actually it is down the road, and it's just a little space, and they want to put something nice in there.
Yeah.
And then we can kind of work with them on that. I think what we want to avoid is just, you know, obviously we'd like to integrate it, but we would certainly work with them kind of at any point.
It seems to me like what you need to do, what we need to do, you know, for example, if somebody comes to Kirkland and they're going to put in a building and they know they have to put in street trees, let's put it in this perspective that I can relate to, you know, they know they have to do it, and so they go to the city and the city has a list of approved street trees and they pick from the list. It's, you know, it's a simple thing. It almost sounds like when an applicant comes in and he puts in his permit applications or whatever the first step is when he comes to the city, he's going to put in a multi-use project in the downtown area, and the city turns to him and says, great, well, you're going to be in front of the design review board, and you're going to have to demonstrate superior retail, and these are the tools that might help you reach that. One would be, for example, that might dazzle the DRB is, you know, using integrated art in your expanded sidewalks or your, you know, your, however you want to term it. But it seems to me that to give them the most tools at their very first, you know, the moment they step into the city and say, I'm going to build them.
Yeah, and not only that, here's a person you could call to have that conversation.
Yeah, and you can give them, and these are the artists that we've worked with the city, that the city, you know, knows, likes, recommends. However, you know, it seems to me that would be the stage. We don't have, you know, we're not empowered to mandate, you know, that they spend the money or anything. But if they know that might help them further down the road, yeah, because we're continuously disappointed, you know.
But in a perfect world, this could really be a solution.
You know, and no disrespect to the developer you spoke to, but I didn't see any, you know, great idea.
Right. Yeah,
never,
love the idea.
Never happened.
You know, it comes down to the ones that are going to get it right, that are going to do something, that are going to do everything that we all like, are the ones that don't need either of us. You know, there's a small family of developers that if they're doing a plaza, they'll cast their own tree grates, and they'll integrate art into it, and they'll make something of it because that's their signature and because they understand that. Mm-hmm. The other 94%
we still could work on
are a little more challenging. Yeah. There's a significant percentage that are lacking a clue and unwilling to go the extra inch, spend the extra nickel, and are more motivated. Are more bottom line motivated, more bottom line oriented, and are more how low can we get the bar? Mm-hmm. And our discussions happen at that level, and so it's, you know, it's one of these things. We'll find it out. We'll both be most successful when the ones that have no need for us whatsoever.
Do you generally have a sense of, I ask this of the city and of you guys, do you generally have a sense of how popular a project is likely to be? Because one of the things that art often does, at least can do, is help with that factor of how well received it is in a community.
You know how unpopular it's going to be by the number of neighbors that show up to complain about it.
Yeah. Well, yeah. So you get a real sense when you listen to the people who come to speak. Well, the public example that comes to my mind, and the greatest example of this, is Sound Transit, which puts in bus. Mm-hmm. Transit centers and depots and terminals and parking lots and things that no one wants in their neighborhood, and they have amassed a fortune in art around our region, and for the most part people love those projects for the art. I mean, it can be a real mitigating piece to the community, and I would think for private development maybe at times we could use that in our favor too.
The problem is convincing a developer that when they're trying to make the bottom line pencil and.
But Eric, you know, my theory is that they have to have lighting and they have to have rails.
Absolutely.
And they have to have
stairways.
Right. So why not have that be artistic and people when they go there?
Why not create a project you're proud of? At the end of the day, you can step back and say, "Gosh, you know, I think Steve's right."
A little bit essential, a tipping point. I think it's a two-step process. What you're saying is articulation. To me, the superior retail may be the best of all worlds. We're trying to get like 6 or 7 criteria ideal in the same point here, which is difficult. I think this is the one that has the opportunity of gentle incentives. Mm-hmm. And probably it needs to be well qualified for you, because the item is going to be the same, like you're saying. Have they enhanced the public realm in those courtyards? How can they prove? They can say, yes, we did. And the verbiage is difficult. Have you seen use of art? They can put one little painting on the wall and say, we did. Or is there something that would be like a significant improvement of public, of use of art in the public domain? And then it would be the duty on them to demonstrate, okay, show 10 other projects that are in that category so that we can see that you really did something of significance. That's the matter of criteria. And then the first level of this criteria would be to have that in the application and requirements, as you're saying. That so that first thing, when they read it, I need to have this for the superior art, that's what they're going to encounter in the more definition when they go to your guidelines. That would be the two-step process. I think the tipping point is really key, because in the public art, there is already, I think that tipping point has been crossed. There is enough of an awareness on the projects, agencies.
Well, there's money.
Sorry?
There's money.
Yeah, well, that helps. But there is a tipping point about how the process works. I think at this point, I see the same way as you are. How can we get the developers more than 6% to see this as a business proposition in their favor rather than a nuisance? And I think the key is really not being through the process. That's what I guess is kind of the fear of the unknown, more than almost even, or probably in as much as the bottom line. If we can get 3 or 4, we're on a small territory here. So if we can get through this process, maybe 3 or 5 projects to get through this process, there's going to be almost like a pressure, if not stimulation, mm-hmm. for the others to see it as their business proposition rather than nonsense.
And that's actually a point that I was thinking, that that what we've been talking about is actually how we as basically two parties provide stipulations to developers, basically try to actually get them to play with the rules. But there might be the other side of the equation where actually if you have 1 or 2 projects that have actually gotten approved that are actually raising the bar, that basically it doesn't actually become a stipulation or something that needs approval, it becomes a norm. And you probably see that, I'm assuming that in landscape, even within private development of homes, I've noticed that the materials, or at least the textures that they use around the area, that they've changed. That basically now you've actually incorporated more stone, something that's more distinct, something that actually brings a different look to the neighborhood. Landscaping. If we take Kirkland as a whole, even the level of restaurants that have actually come in, the businesses that have come in, that actually now within the community provides a visual, or if not a mental, kind of, okay, the criteria has been set like this. And so if there are a couple of projects where we can actually, for example, you stated that there was a certain percentage that wouldn't need our help. that basically those are the people that actually go out and do their own. If we could actually find one or two people of the other party where they are actually in the bottom line and they actually do something with integrated art, well, then we start moving the bar up in regards to basically the other 95%.
We're working on getting those guys earlier, and we can get them because they come through design review not just because they have to, but a lot of them come through design review because they want to do a little horse trading.
Right.
And one of the whole reasons that we're all here is horse trading.
Okay, I like that. I'm
getting
into that.
Well, maybe not want to call it horse trading. This is an official sanctioned public meeting. For superior design, for openness of process, but we're here to permit and facilitate some flexibility in the design process.
Right.
So there's some flexibility in the in how the guidelines are realized. So the developer can propose design departures where they depart from some standard, an upper story setback, and in exchange, because of some superior design, because their design can be, by not doing that, somehow better. So that's where we have them, or that's where the leverage is, or that's where the point at which we have a dialogue about how it's better.
So maybe then one of the action items that can be taken, or one of the things that we can think about, is basically, okay, if that's the stance where these people come in and we actually are doing some horse trading, how does the Cultural Council and the Design Review Board, if we for the next five projects that you guys are actually going to oversee, if we could maybe see, well, how does the Cultural Council, if they actually have input at this stage, what's the result there?
Well, they have to eat off a menu, and you know, we can't, no one can just have free rein to do anything
right.
in the city. So what, not everything is departable. But in through early identification of the design departures at the concept phase, you know, where a project is seeking to deviate mm-hmm. from the prescriptive zoning. And at that point, we have the opportunity to weigh in on what is it offering? How is it going to be superior? Or if it's going to do that, we'll expect something in exchange, an enhancement of the public realm. We'll expect that deviation not be impactful to some neighbor, that it not, you know, cast a shadow all over your yard.
Right. Like my view.
Or yours. but it behave well. But that's the point at which you sort of get an opportunity to sort of identify and have an impact on what people's strategy is like. But if in their menu to choose from, they have, you know, enhancement of the public realm through art, or enhancement of the building through art,
mm-hmm.
if that's one of the mechanisms by which they can offer superior design, I'm just throwing this out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's precedent for them. Again, like Mercer Island, you know, they've right. clearly got... as Portland example. So there are jurisdictions that certainly have that. It's not...
If that's a means by which they can come back and say, yes, we offer superior design, then, again, then the Cultural Council and or the Design Review Board and or whatever other specialist is needed to, you know, assess the...
Would that only apply to the demonstration of superior retail?
It's almost like we talk about superior retail, but really we're broadening that. I think what Steve's saying is there's departures, but then there's also that I want that extra floor.
Right.
And really what we're saying is there's a menu of things that you can do to show that you justify, whether it's that departure or that extra floor. Among those might be the art and integrating the art into the project.
You know,
whether it's superior retail or not, or whether it contributes to superior retail. It might, but it may not. So I think there's ways to integrate that in there. Mm-hmm.
So they're saying there's kind of two venues, the design departures, or is superior retail a subset of the
design? I think the way to think of it is there are design departures, then there's just I want that extra floor. Those are things that they, when it gets down to horse trading, if you will, that's where they want those horses. And then they say, so what do we need to do? And if we should probably have some fairly clear idea what it is we're going to ask you to do, or what the menu is that you can choose to do that. And then we have the conversation around that.
And doesn't almost every project have some glimmer of some departure somewhere.
Sure, almost all of them have their something.
Yeah. And so that's where we could step in, I mean, with the integrated.
Well, then the question, yeah, that's an interesting question about what degree does the cultural council get involved in the review process? Is there another meeting? You know, the developers are going to hate to go through another set of rotating
sure.
eyes.
We need to set it up so
yeah.
it's streamlined
yeah.
so that it's an
right.
early on discussion with
right.
someone or our group
right.
and
right.
then
right.
and then it folds into your process
right.
without creating extra
so
steps.
Probably if the you know, I'm thinking that
yeah.
we could do a process
yeah.
where it says you've got to have approval of this board and that board and then you becomes very bureaucratic and they get all bent out of shape on that. But if you had an encouragement, or if we get acknowledgement that the design review board would give a special credence to your recommendations or something like that, then we could encourage it.
Yeah, and if the DRB would accept the fact that they're working with the cultural council and that they're committed
yeah.
to doing something like this, then
yeah.
we don't need to see the final.
Well, there, you know, if for example,
that would be
using the example you made of the fountain. Because I was thinking, you know, one of the problems that we have, the board has often, is that detail level, right? Because
right.
we get to the point where we've approved the massing of the building, we've approved the general architecture, but then there's some detailing, and but they want the approval.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because we got to get going with our building permit and so forth
yeah.
and so on. So the question is, you know, how much of that detail does the board really get into? But I'm just thinking, if indeed the fountain is the thing that's sort of, yes, okay, the board could say, yeah, we're willing to let that fountain be the piece and work with the cultural.
If that's a key component, or if a plaza is a key component,
yeah.
or if...
Right.
Well, you could keep it flexible. You don't have to make it, you know, you have to get the approval of the cultural council
right.
for any piece of art you put in your building. But if, you know, if you get presented with something like this fountain that you just don't feel good about,
right.
you can say, listen, as a group, we want you to talk to the cultural council about this because we're uneasy about this.
Head's going yes, and this head's going no.
Well, no, it's just I misunderstood how that fountain went. We loved the fountain.
Oh.
It looked great on the drawing. It was beautiful. It wasn't in detail. We loved the idea of the fountain.
Right.
We loved the location of the fountain.
Just didn't.
It was the fountain is now built, and it's a huge disappointment. And now we're trying to look back as like. Was that what they proposed?
Yeah, what could we have done?
You know, what could we have done? And at the time, the most we could have done, and did we do it, I can't remember, say, gee, that's a real focal point. I hope you're really going to give it the attention it deserves. But to say, okay, we want to see more detail on that fountain, and we're not going to vote on this building until we see it, that...
But what you could say,
we could say,
the building, work with the cultural council.
There is no design.
The concrete
box.
Yeah.
It's a concrete box with a spout.
We'll see how
it
is.
Part
but they
the
work with us on the
so that's where we think we could get involved with that.
Right. But the only
this is north.
So no algae.
It's on the north side of it. So it's going to be dark. No light is ever going to hit it. You're not going to see any shadow. You're not going to realize any detail in that unless it's exceptionally lit. It's not even going to be readable. That's that. The fundamental flaw in that fountain is that it's not visible.
But the bigger issue here is that maybe regardless of how we set the process is the execution and the follow-up.
Well, okay,
that's
what I'm worried about.
You come before the building permit. So the project is 50% CDs, contract documents, 70% contract documents, regardless if there is some wiggle room there. That's probably when you see it the last time. Is that correct? Or
what? Like that's that
when you
what?
See when you
no.
when you give you a final approval and said that's great, and you see the execution and
yeah.
you said, oh, this execution is nowhere close to what you thought it would be from those drawings.
Mm.
If we, in any form or fashion, come into the process at that point, and we have
mm-hmm.
also some kind of nice croquis or whatever art intervention is, and how do we follow up that that's
yeah.
or you or whoever comes to be. Yes, this is really following what was promising in the schematic design development before building permit. I think that follow-up and execution issue is still present for the art in just as it is for the detailing.
You know, ultimately, I'm going to put a bureaucratic hat on here. So I'm a bureaucrat. So the board is responsible for making a decision on the design review right now. I mean, the codes
mm-hmm.
can change and we can talk about that, but ultimately the DRB has the legal authority to approve the design review. Then when it comes around to the building permit rolling in, my office reviews the building permits, and our charge is to make sure they meet the zoning and they meet whatever requirements the DRB put on. So if the DRB didn't get detailed about saying that fountain has to be detailed in such a way, you know, we don't have any authority to do that at that point. So, you know, unless, again, I know you don't want to create another process, and probably any of us don't want to sort of create a legal process which there's another hoop that they actually have to jump through and so forth. But we, what we have to think about then is how do we integrate this into the system we've got, where the DRB's, I guess, what you're asking is maybe includes you in some way in the consultation at least, so that by the time they're making a decision, they're confident that there's...
As I think of a bill, if they're going to come at it as integrated art as our thing that we're going to push to get the extra story, if we're going to play that kind of chip, I think we'd want, obviously, what is the level, and that's where we'd really want, we'd want to...
You can't, yeah, to reiterate kind of what Eric was saying, you can't count on us when we're looking at the plans, which are multiple pages, and it's a long evening, and we've been pouring over stuff. The fountain was such a, you know, a tiny little thing. We're looking at a massive building that spans for two square blocks, you know. You know, you just, you can't count on us to catch it.
I agree, but I think if they're playing the, this is an, we deserve superior retail because we're doing integrated art.
Right.
There's a clear.
Then you have some teeth.
Then you can at least say, at least get some, because again, you know, you can, and I don't think what we would do is probably just make sure that there's like an artist pulled in, because we don't really want the, you know, the developer picking the art. So there'd just be, you know, if they don't want to play that card, then, you know, maybe we're not.
What kind of art?
Hey, somebody has to make a decision about whether this art is adequate or not. You know, and
you base it on cost?
No, can't be based on cost. As a matter of fact, you know, we had a little Norkirk development for our neighborhood just recently that came to us for some ideas, and they had a budget of $9,000. And we thought, and they wanted some bronze sculpture originally to get out of a catalog, and we said, well, they don't think that's a real good idea. And when it came down to the fact that we put out a call for artists, and we got some really great artists, 9 of them, that submitted projects for under $9,000 for their little street landscape sign area in the Norcook neighborhood. So it's a matter of, and then we sort of suggested a few of these designs were what we liked, and then gave it back to them to pick what, you know, pick one of the artists to do their project for them. And then, and it was all voluntary, and it was very, a very good experience, I think, for everybody. So I think you work together with people voluntarily, but somebody, because, like Bob says, if they get the idea, because like some of these developers are going to be just out there to manipulate the rules to get the lowest cost possible, and they say, okay, we did integrated art, then you go look at it, like, my God, this is a disaster. And the guy says, yeah, but I spent $30,000 on it. Well, money does not make art. You know,
it helps
to buy art from well established and by well established artists, but it, I wouldn't want to see people just saying, well, I'm defining integrated art by my architect or by my developer or my contractor, and then, like you say, the fate to complete, and you look at it and say, oh my God. I mean, obviously we need to have some kind of guideline for passing on what is acceptable and what's not.
Just to build upon Tom's point, is one of the things that the Cultural Council has done and that we've actually shared with people is that we've actually come up with guidelines about public art and as well as development, things like that. And it's a strong point that Tom brings, because what the Cultural Council can provide in that situation are resources. The Norkirk area actually had a particular dollar amount, so they were very cost sensitive. We actually provided them alternative. 9 separate artists came in, and they now actually have a very unique and very different feel that's been added to their neighborhood. I think that's one of the things that, if I understand what our intentions here are, is to kind of bring that value to other projects. That basically we are a tool. That basically not, we don't have to be a boundary. That basically what we're there for is to actually be a tool. Provide them with, hey, these are the guidelines of how the City of Kirkland, the Cultural Council, actually would like, we don't mandate it, but would like, how we would like to work with you. And that's one of the things that actually, if we could figure out if there is a way for us to work with the Design Review Board, to even get those guidelines presented at an earlier stage, and say, listen, we actually have these tools, these resources available for you.
I think one of the things that would be helpful for developers would be this competitive process. Because as a developer, let's say you're very good at what you're doing, and you're very good at building buildings within a budget and so forth, but you might not feel comfortable in the process of choosing all of these elements that are incorporated as art. But if it goes out for a competitive bid, or an RFP, or whatever you want to call it, then people have a basis for comparison, and I think that sets people up to make better judgments. Does that make sense? You know, in other words, as a developer, to ask that they put this through some sort of a competitive process, and we can step in and help them and put them in touch with artists that might submit things if they identify those items that, you know, are on, let's say, this menu of things that might include lighting, might include sidewalks, might include open space or whatever. And so then the developer doesn't feel so boxed in. They have an open-ended process that can, they have a choice. Does that make sense?
It does, although my thinking is that
they'll choose the lowest.
Well, my thinking is the developers are terrified of nothing but an open-ended process.
And that's another process. I think it could accomplish this without adding another process to the process.
Of course. Time is money.
I do.
That's the last thing.
You know, one of the things that we thought about in this, you know, sort of to minimize the process end is the idea of having an artist actually on the design review board or someone who has the same kind of sensibilities as the people in the Cultural Council actually on the design review board, who would maybe not focus on the building massing so much, but, you know, given a stack of plans, would focus more on that fountain and have some ideas about, okay, this is how, guys, we could make this really a superior project.
Right. Well, this is what I was wondering. As a council, how do you as a staff, or how do you function now when somebody does come to you and say, help, and I need some help with art? Do you have formal public hearings and the process you go through?
Bob was saying when we got here, oh, I hate coming to these meetings because ours are so much more informal.
I said, why are they here, not us? And we do have a policy. That was one of the first things we did as a group 4 years ago, was create a structure for that kind of thing.
And we are kind of, as we go, again, Norkirk was this new thing that came to us, and we built out a policy based on that. So we do have processes. We also have resources, you know, like the planning artist from Totem Lake. We said, we want to do something, we just don't know how to do it. And we pulled in Four Culture, and they said, gave us the slides, gave us the background, gave us the artist. So we're kind of, as we hit it, we have our process. So we do have some. And also, there's a very well-established process for picking art with Sound Transit, sculpture, things like that, that we can kind of apply to the given situation.
We act as a jury often for interviewing artists who come to us with specific plans put together for the project. And that's probably, if we did discover someone who wanted a process, that's how we would treat it. But if it could be less than that, if we have someone who's just wanting resources or just wanting to talk about where could art be in the project, or, you know, there are a lot of ways it could be handled.
It's private developers. You were, I think, from the interview panel committee for Totem Lake Planning Art. There were like eight of us in there. I don't think that needs to be it can be shortlisted. It can be, if somebody is more proactive on developers, it can be, that can be cut short, I think.
It would be really hard for the board or for the city, for that matter, to get into how a developer hires the people they do. I mean, honestly, it's like, I don't think you can do it.
Pretty big conflict.
Yeah. So
no, you can just offer resources.
And we can offer resources, yeah, that sort of thing.
That's
right. I think that's what it comes to.
I mean, no one required Norkirk to purchase one of these sculptures, right. But if you give them ideas right. that they didn't have before and they right. like them a lot, then they're happy to do that.
And it'd be easy. I've been through an artist selection process recently, and if a developer would come tomorrow to me and says, I have a plaza, I would be looking for something like this, I would say, look at this 6, 10, 5 artists, how many do they want to look at? If they're looking something on the, and that's where these other resources come in, we can discuss with them and say, this is what we're looking for, give us a list of 5 or 6 or 10, and then they can make a short list of their own 3, talk with them, done in the afternoon. So there is a way to shorten that, not to be a nuisance. I think the problem is still that I'm kind of trying to get my head around when you said superior retail. That's certainly a concept that there's a lot of promise in tying these kind of gentle things. But there's still the issue when, how do you, what Tom was being saying, how do you establish a threshold? And I think Steve was talking about the cost. Are there several guidelines? How do you say that they have really done significant artistic improvement to give them the value of the whole floor? Is it something that has 3 or 4, again, to avoid the unpredictability, so the developer can say, okay, I'm building a $50,000 building, I'm raising the one floor for $10,000, percentage of a construction cost needs to be for the art. So they cannot not wiggle down from there. And there are some other ones of that may need to be fulfilled so that everybody is comfortable that that threshold that has been granted to get the permission of the floor will actually hold until the through to the end.
That is important. That's essential, actually, that there be guidelines or thresholds or something concrete that we can tie these things to in order for them to hold up to appeal. Because it becomes a quasi-judicial process. But it's a very, very, very subjective material.
And sometimes it's just educational, because we had one developer come to us with the Merrill Gardens, and he had a preconceived idea that he wanted to put a bronze sculpture, because he was thinking Kirkland bronze sculpture. He wanted to put a bronze sculpture in the corner of his lot. And he was thinking, well, you know, like the bears. And we pointed out to him that the bears cost $250,000 when he had no idea that bronze art cost that kind of money. And then we suggested some integrated art, which would be far less costly to him, and he was happier with that.
He's very open to that, yeah. Mm-hmm. So being a teacher, I think that education is the thing that I keep saying, that when we say integrated art, even people like us who are really into that kind of thing don't know what that means lots of times. And Kirkland is inundated with what I call plop art, with the little bronze sculptures, and that's what most people who do not have much education in art think is art in Kirkland. So.
Or they think they can come down, build a building, and throw a big bear in front of it, and we'll just love it. I know what Kirkland likes.
You want to get in that right. early meeting. Guideline, is that kind of what you guys work with, like how can we
you've given us a great start here on this proposal. You know what I would suggest to the board is, since we're going to be going back and working on the superior retail,
yeah,
that the staff can go back and coordinate sure. through you ideas, mm-hmm. but you know, how do we bring that together into this idea that these are the things you got to do to get to the superior retail and so forth,
and mm-hmm. and if we decide to look at these guidelines for the green ones that they've written down is nice, but if we decide to make integration of art as something that we can say that makes a qualitative difference in the public realm, then we have to sort of mm-hmm. get to how much. Mm-hmm. We have to get a little closer to how much, maybe without a
so, and,
yeah,
and,
then
and maybe we can have maybe more things that how much, maybe what that was just, I'm not saying it's the best one, but the percentage of the value of added floor is something that's kind of a
that's
minimum.
Tough.
That's
really tough, and it moves a lot.
The DRB in a position of doing kind of a reviewing performance.
foreman and all that. So
we've lost that before.
I mean, we can certainly recommend, I would, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but we can certainly recommend that it, you know, a consultation take place somewhere along the process, like you need to consult, you know. I mean, we do that when we want them to bring in, you know, an Arvis report or something.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
We would really.
Really, you know, that's, I think that's maybe the,
I would almost
the best we could.
Yeah. And yeah. Yeah. In any project, but if you are going to go to the level of giving them a floor, then the program needs to be a lot more specific.
Well, yeah, but it's not just art. I mean, that's just, you know, superior retail. Yeah. It can't just be art.
Yeah.
It has to go much further than that. Yeah. It would be, you know, and I don't want to go so far as to say if they think that they can just put some cool railing around their window that we're going to love it and that's it. It's, that's just, I would include, like, include that on the menu of items that will help it become superior retail and should consider it along with a multitude of other things.
At the end of the day, we don't want, you know, every 30 feet there to be a hand-painted tile from against it.
and they'll do that.
Is superior retail, is it defined somewhere?
No, we're working on it.
That's what we're working on.
We know when we see it, we're just trying to put in it.
One of the things that
your timing's good.
Went into us.
And I do like this.
If we decided to drift away from some more prescriptive step back sort of a situation with regard to floor areas and just go to something that was more of a percentage of the site area, people will immediately want to depart from that for whatever special reason they have. And that's fine. Again, that's what it's all about. But how then can we realize a better city as a result of that departure?
Right.
I do think Eric is right in what he said, that eventually, if we get some of this going, it raises the bar everywhere. And so, you know, to have a few of these experiences where people say, gosh, we worked with the Design Review Board and the Cultural Council and we added the art and it didn't cost that much and it was a process that really worked, and then you look on the street and it actually changes how things are happening in Kirkland.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That's when it's really going to get rolling. So the first few things, however we, you know, for the next few projects that come across your desk, we would really like for you to think about us and let's see if we can start some of this happening, because we came here to talk. We didn't really come here with a plan, but you've been really great.
Yeah, think of everything we've talked about. I think there's things that could implement, you know, the carrots and stick thing that we talked about. You know, there's things you could implement, certain, you know, budgets for art that, you know, are based on getting an extra density or whatever. I think for me, maybe it's just my perception of things, but, you know, as opposed to doing, you know, public art, which can be sort of vetted or evaluated in kind of a different manner. I think, and I've heard a couple of comments tonight, I think it's a very slippery slope when you have a private developer who is you know, having some aspect of integrated art within the project, and then how is that art going to be evaluated on a subjective merit? That's the part that I don't really have a clue about, and the implementation of that could be really, you know.
There are very very analytical, objective processes for that kind of thing used all the time by Sound Transit and MarshDOT and juries that do these kinds of things. And if you let people know up front, as the conversation, I'm not saying that you prescribe exactly to them up front, but if art is going to be included, there are ways to make that happen so that everyone understands it.
I think it does tie the process, because, you know, you could have art is subjective.
Art is pretty.
But if you follow up kind of a process, then you can feel pretty confident.
Yeah, but again, the
process
question is how to do that in a way that doesn't add too much process.
Yes,
or weight the whole thing down. So
but instead of actually thinking about something of how to regulate it, maybe we can think about how we can supplement it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. By providing the tools, by providing the expertise and resources that we have a better chance.
Yeah.
And Eric, on your comment about bureaucracy, I think one of the bureaucracies, the positive aspects of this, is basically you want to avoid fallout. And so if this is a way that basically the community actually comes together on the project compared to something where it's actually the other way around,
wonderful.
I think that's where the value actually was working together was.
Sure.
How did the neighborhood come together on the North Coast? Love it or slip in?
We set up a neat process.
Okay. It hasn't been installed yet, so
we'll find it.
But it was, you know, they stepped forward and said we want to spend money on it, and what we made sure was there was a selection process, that there was a committee forum, and there was this artist evaluation. And we kind of went farther into going to the neighborhood meetings and setting up special meetings for people within a quarter mile of it.
Okay, that was a lot of process.
It was. Mm-hmm. But I think, and it depends on each project, but we didn't want to just pop something in the middle of their neighborhood. So we kind of bent over backwards this first time around.
I guess we're kind of saying that we are willing to spend time. We want to free up the time of the developer and the process. So that there's a difference there. And in this case, the group, and I wasn't part of it, but the group that from the Cultural Council that was a part of it didn't choose the art that they loved. What they did was rule out the ones that were too small for the scale of the site, and in other words, leave the pieces that would create a successful project in place for the community to make the decision. Mm-hmm. That's the kind of role we should
be
playing.
The community was involved. There were at least four members, I think, that Bob was working with that actually represented the, I don't know like how the Everest neighborhood has their own community, but Northwick,
mm-hmm.
that actually represented their group. So the community was involved, and it was actually more us answering their demands about mm-hmm. asking for time. Listen, we actually want to talk to you more about this piece, or we actually want to talk to you about these guidelines that you have. And like Bob said, it was one of our first times that we mm-hmm. actually interacted on this level. And if it's something about worrying about process, I mean, that's stuff we can always streamline. Especially when we talk about private
development.
There's maybe one person, right? Two people, it's a different thing.
Depends on the project.
I'm doing one now. Private development, 24, 28, a couple dozen little urban townhouses, three-story things, in Walla Walla, right in the historical district, half a block away from their Saturday market. It's on the other side of something called Mill Creek, which is a stream that courses through the entire town, but through the downtown, it's mostly culverted. So to celebrate, it's coming out of the culvert, or it's the open top of the ditch as it passes through the center of the site. We hired one of your artists who's on the list, Buster Simpson. He's on everybody's list of urban public art guys. He's a great guy. He does really wonderful things. So Buster's going to do a little something, and the developer is springing for this. The developer thinks this is a wonderful thing to celebrate this waterway that goes through past this simple, tiny, tiny little residential development in town. So Buster wants to celebrate the waterway, so he has phrases about water and poetry dealing with water and urban water and just wonderful, inspiring words. And then he decides to stamp them onto license plates. Well, there's a big prison.
Big one, yeah.
Walla Walla, and the joke was lost on the community there as to how cool it was to have it rubbed in everybody's face about the prison. So sometimes
a different sensibility.
Yeah, well-intentioned artistic gesture.
You can catch an artist early enough in the process. They don't always get really. Probably hate that.
So what's the end of that story?
No, well, that one's going back to the drawing.
What you said. Where's the inside now?
But it isn't all that easy, even when it's all in private hands.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's kind of a small point here, but it may be a big move. In these guidelines, some of this reworking, it's really changing the way you look at some of this. Where you're removing a lot of the verbiage that speaks about public art, and you're replacing it with integrated art. And if you talk about it, it can be two different things.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you talk about this as public art, and then you show the picture of the bronze bear. Well, some Merrill Garden comes along and they want their bronze statue.
Mm-hmm.
But to, you know, at least see them in, and the developers are reading through this for the first time, the tenth time, make them aware of that. By use of the integrated art and examples of integrated art and showing them that's what Kirkland's thinking. We have enough statues
for now,
plot down fountains or something like that, integrated into your building, it might lead them in that direction from the get go.
Perhaps you could maybe help us to, I mean, we have a pretty good definition of what integrated art is among ourselves, but we've been all talking among ourselves, and it might be something for the Design Review Board to really think about how to define integrated art if you're working with these developers, because it is all kind of all over the map, and it is subjective, and that's kind of what makes it sort of nice. But if you're a developer, you know, you probably want some parameters there as well.
Well, some of that, I was thinking of a couple of the photographs that you showed, even taking one, take one of those anyway.
Yeah, the visuals.
Plop it, put it in here along with everything that you were saying. Because, I mean, right, we have a picture of there, why not have a picture of a...
There's some great private ones that, who was the one that, right, that's what I want to come here, because he really believes in integrating art into his projects, because he's seen that people come there more and they feel something and all that kind of thing. So,
well, there's a great overpass that was built by a private development at down Elliott Bay with Amgen.
The flyover down there. Have you been there?
The artist who does the
freeway 405 project did that as well, and it's really quite an amazing.
Mine is very expensive. Yeah.
But I think you raise a very good point, which is kind of the difference between public art and defining integrated art. I mean, is that what you're trying to do?
Yeah, that's what I was trying to do.
Because I really think that it's an education process, as we've talked about earlier, and it may be that the Design Review Board can kind of help in that.
It may be, too, that referring to it as integrated art as opposed to public art. Public art is, you know, funded by cities and large amounts and large pieces and plazas, etc. Whereas probably we should be referring to this as public art and private development, because if we have somebody who says, well, I did integrated art, I did the railings inside my building, well, you can't see that. So the public art and private development has to be in the public view.
In the public view.
And if it's in the public realm, sometimes it's in public works territory.
Try to get around these little manipulations that contractors might want to do.
I think you should do your show for them.
We've
had more trouble with, we get things through the Design Review Board and taking them in downtown projects frequently, and then C-Trans will tell us that we can't change the sidewalk standard, or we can't integrate art into a sidewalk because it'll somehow or other make less of their sidewalk, which is their territory. So I think when I say show the show to public works, I'm not trying passing the buck.
No,
so the public realm belongs to the public works.
Yeah.
And they have to cook with you if this is all going to turn out great at the end.
Good.
We can help there too. I mean, I think we can at least. Granted, we're not like official, part of this process, but we can, through letters and stuff like that. If the Cultural Council comes out and says we think this is a horrible idea,
it does
weigh a little bit. At least council seems to listen at some point. If we really stand up and say this is great or this is terrible. So.
If you have something you need backup on, we actually could help play that role, because we've done that in the past, and it so far, our track record is really good. Yeah, we're batting 1,000 so far.
There's a fountain downtown that could use some attention. After that,
we actually are hoping to build some some credit in our bank account around the community with going to people about things, and just seeing if we can be helpful. We have.
I think that's a role you guys. Somebody asked earlier about the
I think it's a difference. This is a body that is a judge, and ultimately makes a decision.
Yeah.
Whereas they're more a promotional body, right?
Yeah, well, we do make decisions about some of the public projects, but as far as private, we are just going to be resources.
People see us as a judge, though, interestingly enough.
Okay. Well, we have had to be.
Get away from that.
Part of what I was asking, because if it's in our guidelines and when the staff gets the first thing in the grant, we'll do some public art, we'll do some private art in public places to get our extra story, that they kind of get a nudge of, well, you ought to go talk to the cultural council and the design review board might ask you if you've been there by the time you get to them.
Exactly.
Just to kind of, the people who might want to go off and have their own ideas of art.
And we want to be more of a resource to developers and not a nuisance. We want to be a friend, not more money that we're going to cost them. So.
Well, somebody made a point about kind of supplementing as opposed to regulating, and I think that's a nice way to do it. I mean, in terms of being kind of the resource. Who are the artists? Who are the people out there that are doing these things? I know King County publishes the booklet of artists that are making, glass, metal, ceramics, whatever. It's a huge resource for people. A lot of developers would actually be very interested in talking to a lot of those people if they knew where to find them. Saw examples of their work.
Exactly.
So, that's just, to me, a real simple, obvious resource that could do that tomorrow.
Yeah.
Really.
Well, pretty much.
Yeah.
You guys.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Guidelines and things to look at.
So we're working the guidelines.
We'd like to help with this.
Shall we summarize?
And Jeremy's kind of like the talk to him. To get him.
Well, and he's sort of the main staff person for the DRB. He's also working on some revised guidelines coming out of the retreat. Right. So I see this as sort of the extension of that.
So in addition to that, could we try to find one or two or three or four projects in the upcoming months to really test the waters?
I think that would be great.
Sure. We need to have the guidelines first to be able
to... Well, we technically do, implement. I mean, in the meantime, there's no reason why we can't sort of point people that direction.
If you have projects
so forth,
that you feel are appropriate give us a call and let us... We would
need to verify, for instance, if somebody does come in, and we could say, well, that's art is superior retail. Can we make that leap now without changes to the guidelines? We would need to explore that.
Right.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Anytime anything comes in for conceptual review for its first visit, we're going to try to do, I think, a better job of making them sort of, at least initially, just illustrate very, very conceptually how they want their building organized, what their strategies are for dealing with the context. We don't want to see design, but what they think the issues are and what they think their departures might be. So as they lay the issues out on the table, that's an opportunity to become public at that point for everybody to take a look at those issues and provide input into the strategy and what we think is the effectiveness of the strategies.
Do they always come on Monday night to meetings like this with you? Mm-hmm. And so do you have the public, if people are interested in their project, other people come and give you feedback from the neighborhoods?
Meeting is not advertised to the public, although it's a public meeting, people are welcome to come. The second meeting, when they're ready to get more detailed in the design, that's when we have public notice. It's actually a hearing at that point, people can actually speak.
Okay.
Are you the total design review board?
Three people missing.
Todd, Brian, and Jeremy.
And we have two missing as well as our students, so three total missing.
Yeah. Right. Already have numbers.
We have a talented group. We have people who can do a lot of different things in this group, I think. I've always thought of that. Yeah, you do too. So normally do you just have one project a night, or would there I'm just trying to get a sense of how would there normally be one or two?
Okay. We're trying to streamline it. We're eliminating their presentations. We've had clients, applicants will go on and on. So we are trying to streamline their presentations. The staff is really good about giving their presentation in a nutshell. Our deliberations can get very verbose.
rambling sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, we, you know, sometimes we'll, you know, we'll be on one detail for hours.
Yeah,
it seems. And some of them, like Steve said, those good ones, you probably, you know, you don't need to. You know, and some projects come back 3-4 times because it's just not there yet, and we struggle, and there's a lot. You know.
We had the project tonight that we thought we were going to have.
Oh, you would have
watched that, and that would have been.
We actually really wanted to.
Yeah. Check your calendar. And we do often have special meetings, especially it seems like in the summer. I don't know why that is, where an applicant has to go back, and they want to come back sooner than the next month's meeting, or because that meeting's booked up.
So you only meet once a month, so you
typically,
end up
but we often we have had extras, and sometimes we skip months. Yeah.
I guess so.
And sometimes we go past 11.
I bet, and it's really hard.
But we never have food.
Start the meeting.
That was a retreat.
Yeah. 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 Also retreat. Hmm? Were they at the council retreat?
No, we
had
our
own retreat.
If we come back, we are bringing food.
Study session.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank
you. Thank you.
See, I don't know when the next day.
I saw yours and mine are both in 2006. We didn't get any calls from the city.
Yeah, but a call, and they were saying it was going to be in June.
What's that?
I would double check that. The his, I was looking at, we're talking about the term. And
yeah, it's
on the website it says that ours are both March, but Jeff's and the person his was June.
No, they're all at the same time. I think it's the end of March.
Yeah, so March. Yeah, and that's due on the 15th.
Of February.
So that's
okay.
Oh, if I don't reapply, I won't be chair.
No, it's true. But is your term up?
No, I don't think. No, it's 4 years. So
get your application in there, Cass.
Okay. Steve Leeds can.
Think
about it.
We'll write one for you.
Okay, I want to kind of segue into administrative reports and DOD discussion, I guess, right there with terms of office. And we've pretty well got an idea what to tell Jeremy and the results of this.
We'll see what we can do.
Okay. Yeah, I asked that later about the superior retail, and we were talking about how can we get sustained here? That would be the kind of thing. If we do a lead server, we could.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, that's true. Yeah, this may not be a DR. And there's so many things when it comes to, you know, incentives. So many things. We were talking at an earlier meeting I was in today is, you know, affordable housing. So I mean, there's a real, it's not within the realm of design, but it's, you know, can you say we'll give you an extra story if you put in X percent of your units as affordable to a certain. Yeah, you can do that. But then you, at some point, are you trading that off against good design?
Well, that's not a DRB issue. So then by the time it gets the DRB, it's a 5-story building.
That's right.
So as a 5-story building.
You got to be careful and give away all your eggs if you want to get...
Right. And how much of a 5-story
building.
That's right. Okay, is there any more business? Is there any comments from the audience? The public? Okay. Are you a motion to adjourn?
What?
No?
Did you want to talk about talking to the council or who's going to the council meeting? Or who?
Oh, yeah. So so we have two interviews coming up. Are you going to go to the... So the chair can go to the interviews. And, well, you don't know this because you just went through it. So the chair can... So the board can make recommendations or... For or against, when the but that would mean the chair goes to the interviews, or can you appoint somebody to go in your place?
Vice chair is a very
beautiful. Are you the vice chair?
I don't think that happened on one meeting I missed.
That's how it goes.
We learned that. The next day, so during those meetings.
You can't send an email around, for example, for the whole group and say, hey, does everybody still want Jeff on the board? You have to do it, and this is the, you have to do it now, and then
yes,
go to
do.
Okay.
What are the dates of the interview?
Well, the interviews, the applications are due on the 15th, and I don't know when the interviews are.
I don't think they've been set. Actually.
They probably haven't been set. It may or may not be before the month. That's a heads up.
Okay.
Jeff and I both reapplied.
Yeah, that's coming up.
And the Cultural Council would like to put an artist on the board.
What kind?
I don't know.
What's a planning artist?
How about an architect and a landscape designer? An artist?
What about Thomas Kincaid? Can we get a famous artist on the
board? Where do you get your light?
We need Buster Simpson, though. But it's not a rocket under.
I sort of just... I'm not sure about an artist in sort of one... Because I could just see they like the art, but we don't like the building.
Right.
Well, let me just add, though, that the council, when it comes to these, the design review board interviews, because I know you, everybody here has been through it, is very, very quick. And they, you know, having done, as the chair, gone to the interviews twice, they really want to hear what the board wants or thinks and or doesn't want. And so there's an opportunity before the meeting, they'll talk, and then after, and it really is something that, you know, I was sick when Steve's interview, but we sent, you know, I called and made sure, you know, that they understood, because they don't know that we love Steve.
I think from my point,
they didn't believe it.
They do it. Impossible. You know, I think from my point, I would just say that the board is working real well.
Mm-hmm.
The configuration it is right now, and striving to, we've identified some areas in which we think we can improve, and everybody's on board and working towards that. And I, for one, would hate to disrupt that forward progress at this point in time.
For some reason, with the design review board, the continuity is really,
it's really important, and I'm not saying no to an artist on the board, or no to a citizen, you know, community representative, or any of that per se. I'm just saying what's important right now is I think the board's working real well together, and it's showing in the projects. And I, for one, would hate to disrupt that.
My personal thing on that is with a lot of the projects that are done, even though this is my second year. Very few of the things that I've been involved in are now coming online.
But a lot of the things on the tour, I was not on the board at the time when they came through. In to develop and get up and up to speed and see projects come all the way through and come online, and it takes a bit of continuity. And I think we should strive for that.
Well, then I would plan on sending someone other than me and Jeff, obviously, to the interviews, because that...
Well, if possible, but I'm going to be out of town a few times coming up. I will do it go myself. Did you, Bills, when you went, did you get a call from the city clerk and to advise you?
I did. I think I got, I can't remember if it was Jeremy or the clerk, and I know we discussed it. It was actually discussed in the meeting, the DRB meeting, how we were, what we were going to do, because we were told we couldn't discuss it outside the meeting. And then, so I did get a call. And like I said, I couldn't, I was sick.
Because that really,
it was the clerk.
I'm sure it was the clerk, because the clerk pretty much handles all that. They will, occasionally let me know what's going on.
Yeah.
Generally speaking, we're out of it, the department's out of it, so.
Well, so I guess I would say is if she calls you before you had a chance to speak to it and you can't make it, then you tell Jeremy and then it'll...
Get a substitute.
Yeah, exactly. Because it's amazing. I think that... I agree with what you said, and the council is so receptive to our comments about, you know, what... I was really impressed how much they wanted to know what was going on when we met with them, and then when I was there at the interviews, I was like, so... Mm-hmm. And when we had somebody, you know, went the other way, they were really interested in listening carefully to this. Yeah. Thank you.
Okay.
That's it.
try again. Mm-hmm. We have a motion to adjourn.
You do.
Do we have a second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? Yes.